Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Asare. Reverend Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister. He has been ministering for over 20 years and has traveled extensively. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now here is Reverend Collins.
Hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah. Are you glad to be here this morning? Wow, let's pray. Blessed be your name. Why don't you thank God for Bishop? Thank God for Bishop Dag. Thank God for his life. Thank God for Lighthouse. It is through him that Lighthouse Chapel is here. Thank God for such a blessing. If you appreciate Lighthouse, just lift up your voice and thank God for Bishop Dag. Ask the Lord to keep him alive for many, many, many more years. Ask the Lord to continue to anoint him, to grace him with his power and his presence. May he continue to raise the bar for us to look up to. May he be a father of even many, many, many more to come. May his vision of 10,000 churches come to pass very quickly. Pray to God for our pastor, the founder of our church, the bishop, Dag Cyrus Heward Mills. Thank God for his life, somebody. Kebros Cabrandas. Libere Shikabara. Darabasun Debrebe. Mayandere me kebresa tabakabraba. Marandos. Kibirindis. Lebrosandas. Kayandere me kabrasata. Mandoromo. Kibere. Rababa. Sitabarabando. Rekebere. Mandirimia, Mamandiri Mikabraskata, Liboro, Librese, Libri Bababa, Rakata, Mandoromo, Libre, Setebirebe, Randaba, Makantara, Mekebrosoto, Libro Setebere, Rabababa, Shakata Baraba, Remoro. We thank you, O God, for Bishop Dag, for his life, for his ministry. Extend his days, extend his life, extend his influence, extend his dominion. Oh God, more anointing upon his life, many more facets of his ministry. Libro City, Mandereme Cabra, Rakatabaraba, Limoromo, Mosotomoro, Kiriabasatamaraba, Libre City Mereme, Mama Mandoromo Cabra Sata, Libere, Sagataya, Marabalo, Libre City Mereme, Mandereme Cabra Sata. Blessed be your name, O God. Thank you for such a gift. Thank you for such a gift. Thank you for such a gift. Libro Sata. Makaya Basete Mereme Kebrende. Blessed be your name, O God. And so, light of the world, you stepped out into darkness. You opened my eyes. Let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore, and hope of a life spent with you. So here I am. Somebody sing it.
You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, King of all days, oh so high. be exalted, glorious in heaven above. And so humbly you came to the earth you created, and all for our sake became poor. So here I am to worship, and here I am to bow down, and here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful.
Father, this afternoon we thank you, we bless you. Thank you for Bishop Doug Ewart Mills. Thank you for his life. Thank you for his ministry. Thank you for who you have made him to be. We pray that, Lord, you will continue to lengthen his days. Let the anointing and the dominion and the influence and his visions all become greater than even now. We love him, we cherish him, and we thank you for such a gift to the body of Christ. I want to thank you for this morning's service, this afternoon's service. We pray that you speak to our hearts, you affect our lives, and that you not allow us to leave your presence the same as we came. Thank you, Father, for blessing our time together. In Jesus' name, and somebody said, amen. Somebody said, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. God bless you. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. It's such a wonderful day. It's Galatians 6:6 Sunday. It's a day that we have set aside as a church globally, not just locally, globally. When we say globally, it's real. It's not math. It's not talk. Globally. Because we are in over 70 countries. And everywhere, if you go on the internet, websites, web pages, Facebook, you see this day being promoted all across the World Wide Web, because we're so happy, we're so glad about God giving us Bishop Dag. I mean, think about it. Where would you be? Where would you have been? You see, and that is one of the things that I spoke about from his book, In the Art of Leadership, where you need to contemplate many of the things we do. And many of the, if you want to call it, childish things and immature things, and sometimes the foolish things, is because we don't contemplate a lot. We don't reflect. We are not thoughtful. And we don't consider the things we see around us. Because if we are thoughtful, your behavior in the church will be different. You behave very, very differently in the church. For some of us, and the way we behave and the way we do things around here. Because you think about it. If somebody had not invited you to this church. Yeah. I remember my sister was saying the first time she came back, she has been looking for a church like this. You have this church, you don't even respect us. While somebody is waiting for the church. And you have the church. When we talk to you, you don't respect us. That's why you will not do well. Because somebody is looking for a type like this so they can move forward in their Christian life. You have a type like this and you are just there. Tell me whether you do well or you don't do well. Yeah. Anybody who embraces this ministry and this church, you do well. I say anybody who embraces this church and the teachings and the doctrines you have here, you do far better in this life. I don't know whether it's you or not. The amen. I don't know whether it's you. If it's you, the amen wasn't so powerful. Oh, you don't understand what I'm trying to say. Is it you who's embracing? Yeah. Anybody who embraces this church and you are serious with the things that are going on in this church, there wouldn't be any blessing you will not be able to attract from the Lord. Yeah. You know, so Lighthouse Chapel International, in so many countries, you can only imagine people from all walks of life who are so blessed. If you go to other Caribbean countries, they will speak to you as if their church is the only lighthouse that is around here. It's fantastic when you meet people and how they, if you talk about their pastors, you know, how this pastor is there. You thought it's only your church that the people like you and love you. Sure, people love all the pastors all over the place. It's a very, very unique church, isn't it? And that we must appreciate. You see, if we are thoughtful, you get it. Like, even when you are in a house, you live in a house, you live with your parents. If you are very, very thoughtful, you appreciate everything that you get in the house. Whether it's one meal or two meals or 10 meals. And you'll be grateful. Because if you were to be on your own, if you didn't have a mother, if you didn't have a father, if you didn't have a place to stay, do you know what would become of you? So if you are thoughtful, and if you really reflect on life and experience, you'll be very grateful for anything you have. Oh, yeah. Am I speaking to somebody this morning? You know, so we appreciate Bishop, who in medical school, nobody goes to medical school and starts a church. Your mother brought you to come and study. You say you are starting a church. What's wrong with you? And if you've heard him say it so many times in his messages, most of his professors in medical school thought he was mad. Because nobody comes to study medicine and then you start church. But you came for school or you came for church. If you want to do church, then leave the school and go and do church. No, but he said no. God didn't ask me to leave school and go. He said I should do the two together. And from that 28 years ago, look at us here. In Eastern Penitence. It's fantastic. It can only be God. You see, so this first Sunday in October is a day we are using to celebrate him and to honor him. And the best way to celebrate somebody is to give him a gift. Not a plate or a spoon or a cup like we do at weddings. But money. When people are getting married, the most important thing you can give is money. Are you there? So we decided to, you know, today come with envelopes. Some of us have given ours in the morning. We are waiting for you. So you have come. So if you don't have an envelope, we'll give envelopes soon. And those who have your envelopes already, we'll ask you to bring it. All right? We want to honor him. If you consider the things you see around you, you appreciate him. So your child is in a school that he has built, enjoying the best of life. Yeah. It's fantastic. Yeah, but she has two who are being taken care of in a way that she would never have been able to do. Oh, yes. When they come back, you see how different they will be. They'll be doing things that you would have wanted them to do all along, but they have not been listening to you. And the same pastor who loves our children also, it's pastoring our children for us. It's such a blessing. Yeah. So, I want to read some scriptures to you and then we'll close. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. Hosea chapter 4. Verse 6. You know, when you come to church, you should bring your Bible, right? Oh, yeah, it's a very, very good habit to bring your Bible to church when you're coming. Don't use this. You see how the screen is even behaving? You're going to strain your eyes if you're going to depend on the screen. You must have a, as a Christian, you must have your own personal Bible. And you must bring it to church. It's a good behavior. It's a good habit. Okay, you must read your Bible. You must appreciate your Bible. Hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah. The Bible says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It means that God is saying, it's God who's saying it, God is speaking here that his people, his children, Christians, are destroyed for the lack of, the dictionary says, knowledge is information. Knowledge is awareness. If you talk about knowledge, you are talking about awareness. You are talking about information. Because we don't have information about so many things in life and so many things about God, the Bible says that our lives are destroyed because of that. Did you know that there are a lot of things that we don't know? Are you sure? Do you agree to that? So why don't we get to know them? Why don't we find them out? Why is it that there are things you don't know, but you don't want to know? It's because even in that, you still lack knowledge. I don't know if you are listening to what I'm trying to say. You see, few of us will go to Georgetown Hospital, or any doctor for that matter, and ask him why he's doing what he's doing to you. We believe doctors too much. We have a set of doctors in this place. You can't ask them why they are doing what they are doing. Jugu. And some of us, it's okay. We don't even need to know. No, why are you doing what you're doing? It's my body. It's my life. Whatever you are doing on my body, I have to know what and why you were doing. That's why if you live abroad and you get a white doctor, or a doctor who is trained abroad, they will explain everything that is going on that they are going to do. They will explain it to you. They don't just come and then take off your buttock. Hey, hello, shut your mouth. No. They explain why we're going to do this. This is the reason why we're going to do this. Because, you see, they don't have that right to do things that will harm you. I have a friend who was complaining of heart. The heart was aching him. I mean, heart pains, severe heart pains. And he says it even affects his skin, his chest area. It's like if you touch his skin like that, diffuse the pain. He's been going from doctor to doctor. And then one doctor, you know, tried to help him and gave him a medication, you know. And the tablet or the pill he gave him, when he came home, he Googled it. And to his surprise, it was a tablet that, yes, takes care of pain, but especially it is given to horses. You know how horses are? They can run like that. And so if a horse has a pain, paracetamol can't help. You need a very strong painkiller to give to a horse. So the painkiller he was given or prescribed by the doctor for him, it was a painkiller for horses. And then he also read that one of the side effects of taking that medication or that medicine is impotency. You go to the hospital and just take anything they give you. They say 3 times a day. You are wondering, why should I take this thing 3 times a day? Some doctors will say, oh, 2 weeks later, come. But some of these people, they give them, you just go. Lack of knowledge destroys my people. So there are many things in life that we don't know. And God is not happy that we lack knowledge in several areas of our lives. So, what God does in helping us is not to give us the fish, but he teaches us how to fish. But many of us, God's children, God's people, like the fish rather than being taught to fish. We prefer the churches that when you go, they'll do magic, that your problems will finish now. The churches when you go, that they will teach you to read your Bible and give you revelations and step-by-step teaching. Many Christians don't like those churches. You should go to churches that are packed this today. Most of them are churches that are saying, bring oil, bring this, bring chain, bring the picture of your loved one. Hey, marriages and relationships. Hey, breakthrough for jobs and businesses. That's what people go to.
But you better teach. If you educate a woman, they say you educate a nation. Is that what they say? Yeah, because when you put information in a human being, you are ensuring that that person is secure for the rest of his life. But commonly, Christians from this part of the world don't like knowledge. Because we don't know what knowledge is, what the lack of knowledge is doing to us. Even the lack of knowledge, we lack knowledge in the lack of knowledge. Oh, we are ignorant about the lack of knowledge. What the lack of knowledge does. Bishop, knowing him a little bit, he doesn't handle money. He does not handle money in his hands at all. All I know is that if he's traveling, he travels with people. And then he has people who, by the grace of God, are in charge of things. For instance, if Bishop comes here, he doesn't have to handle money. Why does he have to handle money? I'm here for him. I'll handle the money for him. Oh, you don't think so? Why should he take Guyanese dollars from his pocket? No, he doesn't have to, because I'm here. I'm so glad that he's here that I will handle the money for him. So he can come here, be here for 1 year and not study. All he has to do is that, hey, I need bread. He doesn't have to take money. I said, bread? Canter? You want a canter full of bread or just... you want a baker shop so that you get bread. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. So he wouldn't have to handle money. If you are blessed or you get to a certain level in your life, and you are blessed, really, you realize that even money, you don't have to handle money. All you have to do is just call for what you want. He doesn't handle money physically because he says money is one of the most dirtiest things in this world. One of the most, money carries a lot of gems. Money like that is dirty because people are carrying it, they are putting it under their this, they are putting it in their bosom, they are putting it in their pants. People are doing, counting money like that. Do you know what is on the money? A lot of gems. And you see market women and business like that. Yeah, fish sellers. I mean, money is one of, if you know, handling money, you'll be very, very careful. Yeah. That's why white people, it's more plastic. Yeah. We want to feel the thing in our pocket. Big slap. Yeah. Big slap in your pocket. When you take it out with the Grangers and you count them like that, it makes you a black, ignorant person feel nice. Take the green. You put it here. You see, the ignorant lack of knowledge person is so proud that he has a slap in his pocket. Gems he's carrying around. A slap of gems. No, if God doesn't take the lack of knowledge serious, he will not build it. He will not even form a church. Because in the church, a lot of knowledge is imparted. That's why you should really choose your church carefully. You should choose a church that imparts knowledge, that teaches you, that helps you to use and apply your brains and your mind. Not church that you only feel. Feel. I can feel it. So what happens after the feeling? And that's how sometimes most of us, our lives are made up of. We are used to the dressing, the presentation to people. But inside us, there's nothing inside of us. We like to show people. But there's nothing inside of us. Oh, when it comes to the shoes, we have a lot. You invite us for a party, you'll be surprised. You put on the shoes. We will come with our long nails like tigers and tigers. We will come in pumas and cheetahs. We'll paint our face like a dead body. We'll come. Hey! Share. Presentation. You don't bring yourself. We will come. But then, you ask the person to speak. You engage the person. That's why beauty pageants now is not just only your hips and your cup sizes and your hair and the way you walk and your height and your smile. But they also allow you to say something. And then when they say something, then you realize that, oh, no headspace at all. Yeah. In the same manner also, if you don't lack knowledge, if you want to choose a girl in a church, it's ignorance that makes people go around and do all kinds of things. When you want to choose somebody to marry in a church, you have to look at what the person can bring out. Not. As for this, anybody can learn how to do it, you know. After church, you see them. They will come and stand and say, you watch them after church. Right after church, right here. You see. You watch them and see. Watch them and see. Yeah. There is not so much inside. They see balloon. They say, what? Give land more. It's too fantastic that some people will go to Marriott Hotel, okay, and they'll go into the washroom and take a selfie in the toilet. And they'll put it on Facebook. You see, and you see how nice they've dressed. Their only conclusion is that there's too much water in here. There's too much water. Guyana water, thank you. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Do you like this, or you want me to pour oil on you right now? I can pour oil on you. I can bring a bucket of oil and say, touch! Shabba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Oh, you feel the power. You feel the power of God. But is it that only you prefer? Or you prefer something to go into the head too? Yeah, they say knowledge is power. Do you know that we hardly look at the contents of a product when we are buying them? I want Cokes. Please, for two Cokes. Cokes, lemonade. We never read the contents, the ingredients. What is inside? What is this? What is this? What, corn syrup something? Fructose. What is that? Citric acid. What is this? No. Give me icy banana. Icy banana flavor. Icy. Ice, like icy. We don't care. We don't look at expiry dates on things. Expiry date. Pastor, you make joke. Expiry date. I want the thing, man. We ain't got time for check no expiry. Am I preaching or not? Yeah. Yeah, I'm preaching a good message. Yeah. Yeah. Knowledge. What do you know about men? What do you know about girls? What do you know about girls who come to church? Do they really come for God, or they are open sea porches? Yeah. No, if you're a man and you have brains, you should interview them and see, and just ask them, well, who's the president of Guyana? Ask them right here. What's the name of the president of Guyana? You'll be surprised. They say, Barack Jack, you'll be surprised. You will be surprised. Ask them right here. Yeah. No, let us not go outside Ghana. No, Please don't disgrace them by going outside Guyana. Disgrace them right here in this country. Ask them, where is Camp Street? Where is Regent Street? You'll be surprised. You will be shocked. I see. If you don't know these things, you are just attracted to. And these days, they change things. Once they have the wig, they have some little glasses. Ish. Yeah. They all become, you see, your glasses or shades or specters or whatever you call them. You know, like, it kind of adds something to people, right? Sometimes it adds a little bit of nobility and a little bit of, you know, class. These days, you have people, their eyes are good. But they wear it like that. Yeah. Some little weaven. And then, they're, and that's what attracts you? No. Ask them, please say 1, 2, 3 till 50. Let me hear. You'll be surprised. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll be surprised. And that is what you should look for, you know. Not just the outward. If the outward is fine, it's just bonus. But the inside. Hey. You don't want to wake up in the morning in a house with a woman who doesn't have headspace. Princess says it's not him. No. So, knowledge, Samson, knowledge is so important that God has decided to fix the problem of knowledge. And it's in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. My time is up. Let me just quickly. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. Two scriptures, we're done. And I will give you pastors that I love according to my heart, which shall feed you with the same thing that the lack of make people destroy themselves. You see how good God is? That when you have a pastor, when you have a church with a pastor, God is actually solving the problem of ignorance. Do you have a pastor? It is pastors that God gives us kill the lack of knowledge. So when you don't have a pastor, when you don't have a relationship with your pastor, when you cannot tap into, when was the last time your pastor gave you an advice? I was talking to one of my church members who said that for a while now, it's like she's found it very, very difficult to talk to me. Anytime she decides to talk to me, then something will tell her, man, don't worry, man. I'm a lefty, man. Man, don't worry. Man, don't worry. No, I ain't got time to do. Man, don't worry. So I went to preach in their church the other day. And I was standing outside talking with a few people. And then she came to me. She said she decided to just overcome that thing that has been affecting her. And she came. We started talking. She was telling me some deep things. You will not believe it. Deep things. And I began to explain to him. You see, one of the things that I was telling her is that me, I was born in Africa. I was born in Ghana. My hometown is called Agogo. A-G-O-G-O. That's how I was born. When it comes to spiritual things, or when it comes to black people and their evil spirits, I don't need to go to university to have a degree. I have a degree already. I have given myself a degree. I have doctorate in that. I can challenge Prince Kraa any day. Any day. I just want to give you just a little hint. Pastor Ralph is here. You can ask him. In our society, especially in the black people's society here in Guyana, we fail to see when Satan works through our family members. It's a lack of knowledge. Because the person is your father. The person is your uncle. And so, it is impossible that they will hinder your progress.
which is very, very common in Africa. Why is it common?
Because we have had church services. We have had witches confess. You can hear a mother say that I am the one who has prevented my son from getting married. A mother will confess that. You'll be blown away. You ask yourself, why will a mother want to keep... It's selfishness. And once Satan discovers the selfishness, then he comes in more. So you realize that the mother is controlling. It's selfish. He wants to know everything. He doesn't want the guy to bring any woman home. All kinds of things. It manifests in some behavior. And you don't know that it's the devil working. Oh. People have gone and butchered and murdered their grandmothers before. Because when they looked into the reason why they can never prosper, it was the grandmother.
No, but if I say it here, you tell me that I'm breaking relationships. I'm destroying somebody's family and all of that. Is it because there's ignorance in that area? This person I was talking to, one of the things she brought up was that, one of the things that as we were talking, you realize that her mother is the main demon in her life. I tell you. Yeah.
A mother who takes joy in making you frustrated. What kind of mother is that?
You see, and Bishop said it. You don't need any spirit to show you that Satan is working through somebody. You don't need any spirit to show that God is working through somebody. Nicodemus, who was not a priest or nothing, he came to Jesus and said, no one does these things that thou doest except God. How did he know that God is with him? Because of the things he was doing. In a similar way, if you see someone who's doing other things, you can know that it's not God, but it's the devil who is with them. What kind of mother is this who enjoys, who likes frustrating their child? Tell me, what kind of mother is that? And this is the mother that you so love, you so worship, you so... No. Remember, Jesus also said that if you don't hate mother...
From where I was born, I grew up, it's very, very common. People take their daughter's wombs and they say, I took it out. I don't want her to have children. You'll be surprised that the demons will live in your mother and do something like that to you. I'm not saying you should go around and say this, but you have to look at the practical things on the ground. Why is my life like this? You see, and sometimes if you don't gain knowledge and break away from these things or fight it in the spirit, you will never prosper. No matter how much church you come, no matter how much prayers you get, you will not prosper because the person who is through whom the things are happening to you, you love the person. And the Bible says God delivers us from our enemies, not our friends. So if the person who's doing something bad to you is your friend, God will never help you. You want God to break relationships? No. Yeah. No, not just, no, all over. It's all everybody. I mean, it can be anything. It can be anything. I'm just saying that as an example. I remember when my sister, many years ago, went to Ghana to get married. And then she went to be prayed for. And all of a sudden, a spirit spoke through her. And the spirit said, hey, when all of you were born, I was in this house. Meaning my house, where I was born. So when she came back from the wedding, she came to tell me, I said, hey, not me. I said, me minus me. If it's 8, it's 7 because I am not inside. Yeah. And I started praying. I wake up in the night and I'll pray. I said, Lord, not me. I rebuke it. I destroy it. I am loose from whatever. The demon spoke to my sister. The pastor, he said, all of you, when you were born, I was in the house. You should check your family house well. There's something there. I know why I'm talking about this. I'm talking about knowledge. So one day I was there, my brother-in-law called me midnight. He said I should come to their house in Europe that time. I said, why? He said, you come. I was poor. I had only a bicycle at the time. So I jumped on my bicycle and I just cycled to the house. When I got to the house, my sister, one of my sisters, not this one who came to tell me this, another one, was walking around the living room like a mad woman. And so I asked, what's happening? He said, they had dinner, and right after dinner, that's it. She started like she's crazy. And it has been like that until she decided to call me. Because I was a pastor then, so I went. So I said, no problem. I started to pray. When I started to pray, then my sister stood like that and she looked at me and she began to laugh. And she began to mockingly laugh. You know when somebody was trying to mock you? So now I was like, what's this? Then a voice decided to address me as a little boy. It's like, you, Orin? You? I mean, when somebody speaks like that, you must know that the person has some information about you or knows you somehow. Orin, you're talking about? Raise yourself. Orin? Orin? Orin Nelson? The little Orin Nelson? Please. Then you must be careful because that person has something. Then I realized that which my sister from went to the one that my other sister told me, it is the guy that I am encountering right now in this other sister. So I said, "Oh, is that you?" And I said, "I said you, this little boy." And I got vexed. Then I said, "You may have known me as a little boy, but now I'm a big boy. And I come against you in the name of Jesus Christ." And I began to pray. I laid my hands. And then she fell down like that. I laid my hands. Cast out the devil. And then she fell into a doze after a while. When she got up, she said, "What are you doing here?" I said, I'm here. "Sir, why is a place like this?" "Oh, no, we're just excited. We just try to just put things together like that." You think your house may not have something like that? No, you may have to sit down, analyze things, and then gain knowledge by it, and then fight it. So, knowledge is being given to us in our church through our pastor. In books. One of it is this, demons and how to deal with them. You have to know how to deal with demons. You have to know. Do you even believe there are demons? There are demons. If there are demons, they can't do anything to you, but you have to know how to deal with them. You cannot just sit and say, "Oh, me? Nothing can touch you. You wait and see what will touch you." You need knowledge. You need knowledge. And that is what God has provided for us through our pastor, Bishop Dagwood Mills. And he has printed, he has placed them in books, Jugu, so that we can read and gain knowledge. And therefore, no Satan, no demon can do anything to us with the knowledge we gain. In this book, one of the things that Bishop talks about, and I want to let you see it. Demon activity gives rise to uncontrollable people. When somebody is not controllable, demons are working in them. That is why when you come to church, some of the things we do, you must understand them. We tell you, go and sit here. If we can't tell you that, there's something wrong about you. We say, don't get up when preaching is coming. You see, everybody is seated listening. It's a very good thing. You go to other churches, you'll be surprised. As the pastor is preaching, there's a church, we went to the church. As the pastor is preaching, people are going to the side. There's a water, there's a cooler plug on the side of the hall. And people are fetching water while the pastor is preaching. People have asked us several times, "Why don't you put some water coolers around? Because if the place is hot." Is this a water company? Please, you have to understand how things are done. If we were to put water here, you see how many people will get and go and fetch water when I'm preaching. So what you're actually doing is that you're actually bringing confusion in the church. So one of the signs of demon activity is the lack of control. Why can we not control you? Why can we not tell you sit down? Why can we not tell you stand up? Why can we not tell you clap? Why? 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 What is with you that you can't listen? Why can we not tell you join a choir and you join without anything? Join this and you join. Why is it that you alone, nobody can make you do anything around here? And you think it's normal? It's not normal. The lack of knowledge is what destroys people. And you don't know what you're actually into. You don't know what is happening to you. This person told me, anytime I get into an argument or something with my mother, for about a week, I can't pray, I can't read my Bible, I can't do anything. I said, sweetie, look at my face. Look eyeball to eyeball. Think about what you are saying. Anytime you get into an argument with your mother, 1 week, 3, 4, you can't read your Bible, you can't pray. Can you hear what you are saying to yourself? I'm the only one who understands what you are trying to say. What is the effect of you not praying or reading the Bible for 1 week? Not because you feel a little lazy, but that you just entered into an argument with your own mother who brought you out of a womb. It's not just once, it's not twice. It's a reoccurring something. Don't tell me that there's nothing wrong about that. I said, don't tell me that there's nothing wrong about that. Uncontrollable people. The madman of Gadara. The Bible says that when they chained the guy, nobody could chain him. No man could bind him. No, not even with chains. Hey, it's a sign of demon activity. It's knowledge that is being given to you. If you get this book, it will help you. Many people are, you see, you want to do well and all of that. You don't want to gain knowledge about how to do well. Our pastor has written the books for us. They are there. So much information. You want to conquer and overcome demons? This is a book for you. One thing Bishop talks about. I want to move on quickly. He talks about Satan wants to isolate you. I don't want to deal with nobody. I want to deal by myself. Meanwhile, no problem. People are this, people are that. Meanwhile, I don't want to mingle with anybody for anybody to say anything. You are on your own. You are in your corner. Share! I said share. You can never be in your corner in this world. When God created Adam and Adam was alone, God is the one who solved the problem of being alone by introducing Eve into the system. Now you rather want to go back to the problem that God solved. You are going against God's plans and it can never be God inside. He come to you. You can't even say hello to somebody. When the pastor says, stand to somebody and say, God bless you. You don't turn. Your neck is stiff. Demons have kept your neck stiff. Yeah. I'm just explaining the knowledge that God has given to us. Through our pastor. He said, I'll give you pastors after my heart. That's why we are honoring Bishop. That's why we are honoring him. Because God, through him, is giving us a lot of information. Our demons. I can pick any book. Which one should I pick? I have this one here. Hey, the will of God. There's something called the perfect will and the imperfect will. God, as a good father, will allow certain things because we are his children and we want it so badly. You know, when a child, all of us, those of us who have children, you have children, especially the little ones, when they want something, they throw themselves down. Now, so another woman, another mother will say, man, give the thing to him now. Look how he behaving miserable. Man, why we not go to get let the child? Man, what was that? No, slap lashes don't solve it. Oh, they do all those things so that the thing that they say they want, you say you don't want to give to them. They control you to give it to them. So that they will keep quiet. So that they will not embarrass you at GPL that you've gone to pay your bill. When I was at GPL, we were sitting down in the line, musical chairs. You know the musical chairs? And then, pray somebody should teach these people something. That musical chair. The chair is there to sit on, not to. Let me take a number. Let me sit down. When it's my turn, I get up and I come. Why should I move? Anytime I go, I refuse to move. I stand. So, please sit down. I said, no, can I stand? I am myself. Can I stand? Is it illegal to stand? Oh, me, I try and fight them, man. Because I refuse to be moved around like an ignorant person. Like I don't know anything. Then you go to the front. Just as you're about to sit down, the person gets up, so you move again. What kind of thing is that? Okay. It's like we are doing something that our minds are not. We are not questioning ourselves. Why are we putting people through this? Yeah. Just passing through the system. Nobody's paying attention. There are so many techniques, taking numbers, taking tickets, all kinds of things that has come into this world that you can make people's life comfortable. If I come to you, your broken chairs. When I'm sitting, I have to be careful because if I don't take care, the back is not there. All kinds of fantastic things. You want me to sit down? I love myself. I'll stand. I tell you, I sit in the car all the time. So when I get out, I want to stand. I want to walk. I want to feel free. I don't want to be. The Israelites spoke to God. They wanted a king. They said, as for this God who is their king that they cannot see, they don't like it. They want somebody they can relate to. The Bible says they rejected God. And God told Samuel to find them a king. It was something that made them enter the imperfect will of God. See, there are things in our lives we must know. The Bible says that you may be able to prove that which is good, which is acceptable, and the perfect will of God. There's something called the perfect will of God. That is exactly what God wants you to do, and not what you are pushing him to let you do. Sometimes Christians will fast and pray about something. You think God is a bad father, that when you put your stomach down for 1 week, why wouldn't he give you what you are asking for? But have you asked whether it is something that he really wants for you? You are crying. Oh Lord, you said you let my enemies be ashamed. So God feels so bad. He says, angels, you know what? The way me that are behaving, let's do something about it. But it's not like he wants you to even have prayed about that issue. So then you actually fall into his permissive will. In the permissive will, there are a lot of problems. If you fall in his perfect will, you are cool. You have to understand. Bishop teaches about voices in this book also. Voices. There are so many voices. Hey, voices. 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 The voice of your father, the voice of your husband, the voice of your wife, the voice of circumstances, the voice of your mind, the voice of your flesh. When you see people progressing, people doing things, you look at yourself and you look at people, it affects you. You also want to ask yourself, why am I not going forward like others are going forward? Voices, they're all here. These are all knowledge that God is giving to us through our pastor. You see, you can choose. I don't know how you want to get knowledge, but anywhere you want to get knowledge, somebody wrote whatever you are reading. Why? Because it is God who gives knowledge to pastors for pastors to convey the knowledge back to us. Last book, I'm closing. It's okay. We love boys, we love girls. We love company. We're having a marriage conference end of this month. You must come. It's open to all. Yeah, 18 and above. You can come. Just buy a ticket and come. Model marriage. Oh Lord. How we want to have a girl. I want to have a boy. I want to have babies. I want to have children. I want to curl up. I want to hug up. I want to kiss up. I want to sex up. I want to whine. And all them things. But do you have knowledge about these things? Do you have knowledge? Do you have knowledge? You will be surprised, ladies and gentlemen. Some of these young girls sitting around with their short dresses and their painted face don't even know what a menstrual cycle is. If you like, tempt me. I'll call you right now.
going to school and showing yourself like you're a big lady. Even menstrual cycle, you don't even know what it is. You want a boy. You want a man. You want a man? Put something in your head first. You want a boy? You want a girl? Put something in your head first. Going to school, not focusing on your school and your studies, you're following boys around. Following girls. It's because you don't have headspace, that's why. And whoever is teaching you that when you put on a nice hairstyle and nice dress and you shake your body on the road, that's what will make you important, that person doesn't like you. Yeah, that person is your enemy. You will not live longer, I tell you. Do you know what it even takes? And your life that is taken away when you give birth before the appointed time. Do you know what it takes away from you? Do you know what it does to you? Do you know the effect of it? Do you know? Do you want to know? You just like it. That our client will be playing music and then people will be doing that. And you just enjoy it. So you want to do something too. Alkaline. Now, what are the songs they play? Broke off your back. Broke off your back. Broke off your back. It's foolishness. You're not even thinking, what does this mean? Hey, what a shame. No, the Golden Jubilee, Prince, I was surprised that they'll have these floats and they'll have a float with young people. And there's a girl I know from where I live. The girl passes all the time. I see her, drops her child to school. And she looks a very quiet, innocent girl. I was so surprised. She was on a float. There was a guy behind her. She was like that. And then they were playing music, and the guy was like that. Hey, I said, it's not this girl who passed my house all the time. And that's that. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You want to know about relationships? About marriage? You just jump in a car. It takes you to fried rice. You go and buy fried rice. That's all you want. That's all you like. Chinese rice. You want to be driven around Georgetown. That's all you want. As long as you are driven in a car with air condition, you are right. Do you know what it means? Do you know the picture it creates of you? Problem solving in marriage. How do you solve problems? Do you sleep in a couch in the living room and then she sleeps in the bedroom for 1 week, for 2 weeks? You ain't talking, you ain't cooking, there's no sex. Is that how you solve problems? You should ask the married woman and the married man, look at them. Yeah, they won't cook, they won't sex. Now, you are lucky that sex is not like a food you can go out and eat. You would have been replaced long time ago. Yeah. How do you solve problems in marriage? Because ask for problems. Paul said, those who want to marry, they should go ahead and marry, but I, they will have problems. So when you marry, those who marry to feel okay, but as my wife, those who marry to find happiness. You joking. You making joke. Ask those who have divorced whether they were happy. Marriage is not just... divorce alone tells you. How do you solve problems? The problems will come. How do you solve them? Problems must be solved. You don't pack your bags and leave and say, I'm going by my mother. You're going by your mother. Your mouth and your nose or your face like something. You're going by which mother? Let's solve the problem. I said, let's solve the problem. Yeah. What is the problem? Let's talk. I didn't say cry. When I said, what happening? Can you speak? Can you speak what you feel? Can you bring into words how you feel?
what is going on in your life? Can you tell me what you're feeling and what I'm not doing? Now you can't know. Then when you cry like that, then you have to say, all right, babes, all right. Okay, come back, all right, okay, babes. All right, babes. Everything all right. Mama's come home. No, the problem has not been solved though. The issue has not been discussed though. Nothing has come up. We have not heard. Problem solving in marriage. Hey, anybody who wants to marry, I know all of us want to marry. Problems will come. How do you solve them? How do you solve them? It's knowledge. Here. When you find this knowledge, when you fight right now, you talk about it right now. And you stop that foolishness like two big, a big man and a big woman in the house and you don't talk. When you wake up in the morning, you just get out of the house. Who brought you up? Where are you from? How to behave? You don't call. You don't say anything. No text message to say, hi, how are you? How was your day? Nothing. You just come home. I can't ask for food because you're talking to me. Yeah. I better eat before I come home. It must stop. You must find keys in solving problems. Communication in marriage. You don't talk. You don't talk. So how are things? All right. How's your day? Good. That's not communication. Everything all right? Yeah. What's going on? Nothing. Are you coffee? Communication. Communication brings two people together closer. Yeah. The person you talk to a lot is the person you love a lot. Yeah. Cry. Yeah. You're laughing. It's truth. Because you don't talk to me, that's why you don't love me. But the guy you talk to, that's why you love him. Because after church, you say, we just closed from church. What's going on? That's why you tell him. Hey, are you busy? You could pick me up? In a space of 1 hour, text messages going back and forth. Ring. That's why you're close to the guy. That's why you can't leave him. Because you are tight. But your pastor, you don't even know my number. You tell me, I don't know what to say. You don't know what to say, but you know what to tell the boy. Me, you see every Sunday, you don't know what to tell me. Tell me, pastor, how's your quiet time? How's the Bible? How's the Bible doing? Is the Bible okay? You can ask things about the Bible. How's your Bible treating you? There's something to say. And I'll tell you, oh no, the Bibles don't do that, okay? I can explain. So, oh, okay, I didn't know. All right, anything else you think you want to tell me? Then the comment, something starts. When I go to your number and I type, I delete it. I was in the office with, was it Kevin? Kevin? And then his phone rang. I said, who is that? He mentioned the name of the person. I said, hey, this person, I thought I was special to this person. The person doesn't call me, you know. And he's calling Kevin. This dark enough time. And it means they will say, oh, I trust you are well. Have a blessed day. That's all I get once in a blue moon. But they called the phone. The phone was ringing. Not, this is not text message. The phone was ringing. I'm sure. If I should have just asked him to pick it up, I think we would have sat there for 1 hour. So what's going on? I was Guyana. I was church. My boy, I miss you bad, man. They don't call. They don't text. They say, man, Rev, me know what for say. You know what for say? You know, take John 3:16 and talk about John 3:16. It's because you don't want to talk about that. That's why you don't talk to me. In marriage, you have to speak. You have to talk. How is the finance? How are things going on? Are we going to build a house? What are we doing? Are we buying a car? What is the plan? What is this? We have to talk. We have to communicate. Tell them, you know what? I love you. I love you. When was the last time you kissed me? I miss your kisses. Please kiss me before you go to work. Don't sit down and then your face turn up. What happened, girl? When was the last time you kissed me? But just tell me I should kiss you. That's all.
This one too, it should be a problem. Ah, come, let me kiss you and let me go on my way now. Mwah! And I just go, you happy now? Okay, good.
You must speak. The Bible says that, speak. The Bible says, speak. Speak. Don't sit down and say,
but I don't want to talk first. When I speak first, it looks like I am foolish.
No, speak. Speak. Let's end this thing. Let's end this barbaric things we are doing in the house.
And then when they start speaking, come and see. And they say, look at them, look at them, look at them, look at them. Communication in marriage. There's so many things. Knowledge given to us by God through our bishop, who we want to appreciate today. Amen. Stand to your feet. My time is up. Hallelujah. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. Bishop talks about acceptance. Hey, you want to stay married, you have to accept the person you are married to. Oh, whatever they are. Just take the ring and be free. As long as they propose a ring, just take it. Yeah. Take it, girl. And take the person as your church member and pastor the person. Preach to the person. Yeah, you should preach and lay hands and preach and do a quiet time and do a scripture of the week with the person. The person will get better. Yeah. It's work. We just don't want to work. It's work. It's all crap. You have to make the thing suit you. Anything you pick, it's not. Those who get things that are already cooked, it's a very simple and easy way of life. Most important is the most valuable things. You pick it from nowhere and you make it into what you want it to be. So, Charlene, you don't agree with what I'm trying to say? Yeah. You marry your girl, you gotta tell her how she must dress. Yeah. So, mean like them armless things. Meanwhile, nobody see your arm. That's me thing, man. Don't let nobody see it. So cover it. Aha. All right, sweetie. All right, babes. I'm going to cover it. Till where? Till here or till there? Then the person starts. Oh, I don't like this. I think you should do it this way. I like it this way. Okay, no problem. Man, when you're walking, say, yeah, that's my baby. That's my baby. Yeah. When they say, don't wear this. Oh, I'm going around with you. I swear what I like. Problems. Problems, I tell you. You've got two presidents in the house. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for Bishop Dag. Thank you for his life. Thank you for the knowledge he's given to us through the books, the messages, the videos, all the areas that we are exposed to. It's knowledge, because you want us to not be destroyed. You don't want us to live in this world and be destroyed as your people. Bless you for his life. We pray for a longer, longer life. Grace, mercy, and favor upon him. More anointing. Let him have 10,000 churches like he wants to. Bless him. Bless his family. Bless his life. Let everything he touches be multiplied to show that God Almighty is with him. We give you praise. We give you glory in Jesus' name. You are here this afternoon before I close. You are not saved. You are not born again. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. If you are here like that, I want to pray with you. Pastor, I need to be saved. I want to be born again. Your right hand up high. Just lift up your right hand. I'll pray with you. I don't know whether I'll go to heaven or hell when I die. I want to be born again. Pastor, please pray with me. You are here like that. Just your right hand. God bless you, sweetie. God bless you. God bless you. Your right hand up high so I can see. God bless you. God bless you. Oh, every eye closed. I don't know why people like open their eyes. This is a time that you have to keep quiet and, you know, close your eyes and focus on God and check yourself. Am I okay? Pastor, please pray for me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. If you lifted up your right hand, I want to ask you to please come. Come to me. Come. Come. Come to the front. Come. Clap for them as they come. Come. Come to the front. Come. Come. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Yes, another young lady. Today's a day for young ladies. God bless you. Just face me right here. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else coming? Face me. Just face me. Face me here. God bless you. Anybody else coming? Anybody else come? Give your heart to Jesus this morning, this afternoon. Give your heart to Christ. Give your heart to Christ. Give your heart to Christ. All right. Close your eyes with me and let's pray this prayer together. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe Jesus died for me. And I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. I open my heart and I invite Jesus Christ to come and stay in my heart, to be my master and my savior. I believe that by this simple prayer, I am saved. I am born again. My name is written in the book of life, and I'm a child of God. Thank you, Father, for changing my life around. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Collins, please call us on 592-231-0077 or email us at lciguyana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguyana.org. God richly bless you.